Benvenuti and ciao ragazzi, and welcome to the first of many off-season Sempre Express shows, where we'll keep you up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Napoli, ensuring of course that the World Cup doesn't steal all of your attention this summer. On this week's show, we're going to give you the facts around Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea saga, delve into some comments by our ever vocal president, and welcome a new addition to the club, and much more. Tonight I'm joined by Ken, Napoli stats Giuffredi, and making his long-awaited return to Sempre, it is of course Marco Cubani D'Onofrio. How we doing, boys?
Good, very good. It's hot. It's hot here in Boston, so hopefully it'll start to get cooler tomorrow.
Hey, I'm not complaining. It's hot here in Toronto, but we don't get enough of this up here, so we'll take what we can get. And I'm good, and I'm excited to be back to talk about Napoli.
Yeah, I think it's just hot everywhere. It's absolutely brutal. It is currently 20 past 11 at night here in Glasgow at the point of recording this. I think it's about 20 degrees. There's not a bit of breeze at all anywhere to be found. Absolutely brutal, but that's the good thing about us Scots. We moan when it's too cold and we moan when it's too warm, so we can't win, so we'll just take what we're given. But this is the first of many of these weekly express shows, so we're going to get right into the main topic, and I think it's one that's pretty much dominated all of our timelines on whatever social media platform that you use, and it is of course the ongoing saga of Maurizio Sarri, and this will, as we speak at the moment at least, failed move to Chelsea. You know, some Chelsea fans think that he's been sacked, others are demanding that Napoli quote unquote free him, and others are actually pointing the finger at their own club for penny pinching. So, you know, Mark, we'll come to you first on this one. Is this how you thought this move would pan out, or should we, and indeed Chelsea, have known better given the way that our president constructs his contracts?
Honestly, I'm not sure what to think right now. And I don't think anybody is, and I don't know if anybody really knows how this whole scenario is going to play out. You can't criticize De Laurentiis for following through on the contract and not allowing Sarri to go on the cheap. And De Laurentiis has made a name for himself over the years for being one to hold his players for what they're worth. And so you can't criticize him for that. And to a certain degree, I do feel bad for Sarri, because I do believe he's done a lot for this club. He did a lot to help Napoli, and I wish him no ill will. If the rumors are true now and that he could potentially succeed Zidane at Real Madrid, I think that would be amazing, both for him and the club. I think it'd be cool to have both coaches, or both our last two coaches, leave us to go to Real Madrid, which would be funny. But I also think it would help build that relationship with Real Madrid that Napoli already currently has. So you could utilize that to bring in a player, whoever it is, and use that as a negotiating piece. So we'll see what happens. But honestly, I wish no ill will towards Sarri, and I really do hope that he is able to land a pretty big job next year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, I sort of line up with Marco pretty much. I think that, you know, it's a weird situation, and we know that De Laurentiis does not let anybody go on the cheap. And, you know, the clause that was out there was pretty darn well known that it was $8 million. So I don't know why any Chelsea fans should be screaming at us to let, you know, to free him. Basically, this puts us in a situation where Sarri is pretty much on quote unquote gardening leave, where he's getting paid, but he doesn't have a job. So, you know, you see it happen in Italy oftentimes where managers go on gardening leave and then they come back in the middle of the season after a manager gets sacked. We're going to hope that doesn't happen this time, even though I do, I agree with Marco. If he goes to Real Madrid, you know, that'd be a pretty interesting and cool story. Plus, it would really, you know, make a lot of the Prem fans upset, which I'm always okay with.
No, I did see one story, I think Football Italia ran it, and they were saying that Sarri could potentially now be used as a make-weight in a move for Karim Benzema. I don't think Sarri's worth quite that much as Benzema's in his early 30s now and getting on a bit, but I don't think he's worth quite that much. But yeah, Real Madrid, I don't know if that might be a move too far for him. You know, obviously Ronaldo might leave, Bale might leave, there's a lot of big personalities that might leave. So possibly, if he was to go there, he might be able to, you know, stamp his own identity on them. But I just think that might be a move too far, in my opinion. I don't think that's a club that Sarri is at this point equipped to take on. Don't know if you guys agree with me on that one, but yeah, he's pretty much on gardening leave. A lot of Premier League fans were coming at us on the Sempre account. They couldn't quite grasp the fact that, you know, you've sacked him. Well, technically, no, he hasn't sacked him. He's just pretty much turned around and said, well, you're making me wait. I can't afford to wait. In the comments that De Laurentiis has made today, he pretty much has that dig at Sarri. He said, if you start publicly expressing doubts, saying things like, I don't know if I'm staying, or I don't know if the club will be able to keep its best players, if you keep me hanging around, I have to look elsewhere. So, you know, I don't think, and it is, again, you'll always have that element of fans on there that want to, you know, have a go at De Laurentiis, but what else was he meant to do? Because can you imagine, guys, if De Laurentiis hadn't made a move, where would we be at just now? We'd be, what, 2 weeks into the pre-season or the post-season? We'd have a manager who we don't know if he's staying, we don't know what club he's going to, we don't know who's paying the clause. How are we meant to plan for that? So, you know, De Laurentiis is completely within his rights to go out there, and if someone like Ancelotti is willing to come in, you do not hang about.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all said it either on this podcast, and I know I sort of said a little bit about this on Stereo Serie A when I was on earlier this week, but, you know, De Laurentiis said as much in his interview this morning that he felt as if Sarri had closed the door in his face and had him waiting, and his number one priority is the football club. And I believe that, especially going into the summer, it was important to instill stability in the club. And bringing someone like Ancelotti in immediately stabilized. All of a sudden, we went from all these players are leaving in the summer to a lot of that chatter is quieted down, if you haven't noticed already. You know, all these players that were leaving, almost none of them seem to be out the door except for maybe Jorginho. You know, Mertens seems like he's game to stay. Hamsik has taken a partial 180 in his stake that he's going to China. And, you know, you see a lot of players sort of standing back up straight as opposed to heading a little bit out the door. And I think that was important for De Laurentiis to establish early in this offseason. So you can't blame the owner for putting the club first. You know, we know Sarri had been flirting, and he said, you know, even as early as last year, he said, my next contract is wanted to be a big one. So I think for De Laurentiis, he said, you know, this guy has already been under contract with us, and if he wants a big paycheck, then, you know, he's going to have to try to wait it out now. So I think De Laurentiis is in the right in this one.
Yeah, as do I. And James, just to go back to your earlier point quickly, I do think Sarri would struggle at Real Madrid, and that's no disrespect to him, because I think he's a fantastic coach, but he also doesn't have any trophies. And when you go to a club like Real Madrid, you need the respect of these players. You're talking about Ronaldo or Ramos, who've won 3 straight Champions League, 4 in the last 5 years. So you need to command respect, and a guy like Zidane is able to do that because none of these players can say they've done what he hasn't on the pitch. That's not the case with Sarri. And that's why I don't think Real Madrid would be a great fit for him right now. But that aside, I 100% agree with what you guys are saying. You can't have this club waiting at the side just hoping that their manager is going to come back. De Laurentiis gave Sarri multiple opportunities. He made it clear he wanted him to stay. And Sarri almost played us like the ugly stepsister, where it's like, we're glad you're there, but you're not the preferred choice. And you know what? Maybe he just reached the point where he's like, I really believe I've done everything I can for this club, and it's time to move on. And so, you know what? If he wasn't really sure what to do, and De Laurentiis has Ancelotti there waiting, you're not going to think twice, and you're not going to hesitate. And all things put aside as well, the club needs to move on and needs to move towards the future, and Ancelotti seems like the right guy to lead them there.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the thing as well. It's people, again, need to realise that Sarri is the one who wanted to go. You know, again, this whole villain painting of De Laurentiis, and yeah, he has his faults, no one is saying that he's perfect, but this is not down to De Laurentiis. As you said, Marco, time and time again, we can go back and find links to various, you know, sites that have ran the stories where press conference after press conference that ADL has came out and said he wants Sarri to stay, even though he was having a go at him in this kind of, you know, latest interview. on the flip side, he was still very, you know, complimentary of him. He says he still loves him and he's very grateful for what he done. But at the end of the day, you cannot wait about. And it is Sarri who has engineered this entire thing.
Absolutely. Sorry, James, sorry to interrupt you for 2 seconds, but you're 100% right. And that's the frustrating thing, is that De Laurentiis is coming out looking like the villain when he's being proactive. And how often is Napoli criticized for not being proactive enough compared to a team like Juve, right? You look at Juve, and people today were talking about they brought in Pedin, and they've already got Szczesny there that's going to replace Buffon. So they've already got two goalies, and we can't get one yet. But De Laurentiis, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're 100% right, and it's just frustrating that people don't always see it that way.
No, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, we can't stand around as a club and wait for people or to decide whether we're the right future for them. You know, the club goes on regardless, and you know, Ancelotti is standing there waiting, and you know, I imagine he's the type of guy that you don't want. You know, if he's standing there waiting for you, you don't wait too long. So I think we've made the right choice. Like I said in my opening comment to this part, you know, we needed that stability. It seems to have brought a calm over the, you know, a lot of the players as well. And, you know, we move forward, and we always do, regardless of our manager. He's a darling. He was a darling for years, but, you know, we've all said it, and some people don't like it, but he never won a trophy. And, you know, that those are things that, regardless of what people think of the competitions, is important as a club, and it's time for us to continue without him.
Mm-hmm. And I think, just to kind of finish off the Sarri chat, before we move on to the ADL interview, which is just full of absolutely brilliant sound bites, do you think, guys, that there's been far too much hype, especially from Premier League fans, regarding Sarri? I think, for me personally, you know, watching certain people, various accounts out there that have, as the days have gone by, whipped themselves into an absolute frenzy over Sarri about, oh, we're going to play this amazing football, he's going to lead us to this, he's going to, you know, revamp the youth system, or, you know, that they're quoting his time at Empoli as, you know, proof of that. It's almost as if they're kind of just, you know, doing Google searches and just plucking these things out of the air to back up their arguments without actually knowing what they're talking about. You know, ourselves and Marco, obviously, on Stereo Serie A, with the guys over there, we analyse Serie A and Napoli on a weekly basis. We know what we're looking at, we know what we're talking about. But I just think there's been far too much of a hype. You know, Sarri's gone from a guy who's done, you know, a good job at Napoli, you know, points increase year on year, but still hasn't managed to win anything. He's went from that to some even quoting him as, I mean, even some Napoli fans out there that follow us on Twitter have even quoted Sarri as being one of, if not the best coach in the world right now. It's ludicrous. And yet now we're seeing Chelsea fans, or some Chelsea fans, doing a complete 180. Now they realise that Sarri might not be coming, and now they're starting to hype up, and the name escapes me. And
there's some other Fulham manager, the guy who managed Fulham last year. I don't know his name either, but yeah.
Yep. So now they're moving on to this guy, and the hype train is taken off from a different station, and we're away again. So, Kenny, I mean, do you think that the hype situation with Sarri, given that what we've experienced in the last 3 years, is just ridiculous?
Well, these things always end up getting us the ire of some of the people out there. But you know what? It's the fact of the matter is as great of a manager as he is tactically, and you know, we've all enjoyed the football we've played the last 3 years, and you know, he's done a lot for the club. But you know, the hype train has got to be too much. He never won a trophy here. We never advanced further than in any other competition than we have previously. So you know, he didn't get us past the round of 16 in the Champions League. Even though, yes, I know it was against Real Madrid, we didn't win any domestic trophies. We didn't win a league title. So you know, at the end of the day, we got to, you know, move forward, and we got to, you know, these guys out there, you know, we Napoli fans and Chelsea fans alike have been, you know, beating me down and beating some, you know, the Sempre account down about how he's the best manager in the world and how, you know, no one else would have been able to get us anywhere near as close without, you know, without Sarri. And I, you know, we'll never know if anybody else would have taken that specific group any further. But at the end of the day, he's played really great football, but he hasn't delivered anything. And, you know, to say he's one of the best managers in the world with an empty trophy cabinet to me is just crazy. So I don't, you know, this situation with Chelsea also just to me screams, you know, Premier League fan and how fair weather they are. They were frothing at the mouth at the idea of getting Saudi. And now that that dream is sort of started to fall away, now they're frothing at the mouth for this other guy. And, you know, to me, that's just a microcosm of how any coach's tenure is in the Premier League. It starts with this fever pitch and how excited they are, and it ends with them just easily discarding you for the next guy who comes in.
Here's my thing. I honestly love the Sarri era at Napoli, and usually with the party managers, I don't always believe that. I certainly did with Benitez, but I'm going to miss Sarri, and I think he did a whole lot of good stuff, and you're right. He didn't win any trophies at Napoli, and Benitez can say he did, Mazzarri can say he did, so that's always going to be on his record. But in the De Laurentiis era, there was two times I believe that Napoli was actually going to win the Scudetto. One was this season, and one was 2 years ago. Both were under Sarri. So you've got to give him credit for that. Is he the best manager in the world? Absolutely not. And you're right, James. It's ludicrous to even suggest that, especially given that he hasn't won any major trophies. So I think he deserves a chance to prove himself. I don't think Real Madrid's the right spot, given they've just won three straight Champions Leagues. But I do think he deserves a chance with a big team. And I think he would do well at a team like Chelsea. I don't know if he's the savior, and I don't blame fans of the Premier League for being excited, because as Napoli fans, we like to get excited when a new player is on his way, whether he's a great player or not, whether it's a great coach or not. You want to think positive, and you want to look them up, and you want to get excited. So that I think is just natural. And honestly, again, I hold no ill will towards Sarri, and I really do want the best, because as Napoli fans, I think it's important to remember the last 3 years, the ride, and what a great time it was. And you know what? If people are talking about Sarri and Napoli is this beautiful football and this and that, then what does it say about this club? It means that people are talking about this team, and isn't that what we really want in the end?
No, absolutely. I mean, and we all wish Sarri all the best, no matter what happens. I think the whole scenario, the way it has played out, you can't help but feel a little bit sorry for him. Even if he has kind of engineered it himself. But I don't think even he would have expected, and it doesn't really send out a great message to Sarri as well, the way Chelsea have acted over this. It's a sad situation. I really do hope that it does work out for him. It has given us three wonderful years, so we do wish him all the best, whatever happens, but we will keep our eyes on that one over the coming days and weeks. I'm sure there's still plenty of legs left to run in that one. But De Laurentiis then, interview today, some snippets from that. The first one I want to touch on, and this is a point that I thought this was brilliant, and it's very much a hindsight, as a, you know, they call hindsight 2020 vision, but he basically said that it was more or less better to finish second with 81 points and a good run in Europe than still finish second on 91 points, sort of, you know, casting a slant at the points record. But while we all bought into the Scudetto pact, and we bought into it big time on this show, you know, it was all Scudetto or bust, you know, once the dust had settled and it ended up being bust and not Scudetto, you know, does ADL have a point, Kenny? I'll come to you first on this one. End of the day, second to second, no matter how many points you get, if you're still second, you're second place. You know, is it better to have, if you are going to finish second, does the points tally really matter whenever you've basically sacrificed Europe?
Yeah, I mean, this comment is one of those funny ones, and ADL will get fried for this one, because I think that, you know, people will say, well, he's just saying that because it means more money, so he can, you know, jump into his pile of gold coins. But I think, you know, he's right, and I think this is maybe the only comment where, you know, yeah, I do wish we had gone further in Europe, but, you know, in the midst of the season, you know, you don't know that that's going to happen 100%. You know, you know, at the time we bounced out of Europe, you know, we're still sitting pretty in first or second place. So, yeah, he's right, but I think this one is maybe just a little bit of a dig at the end of the day.
Yeah, and for me, my thing is that it's hindsight's 2020, right? So you're right. At one point, we were all the Scudetto or bust, and we were all in favor of, you know what, let's forget about the Europa League and let's maybe not take the Champions League as seriously as we normally would. And you know what? As someone who was at that first Champions League game in the group stage this season against Feyenoord, it was dead. There was 25,000 people. It was my first time at the San Paolo. And yeah, I was in the Corvo, and the Corvo was crazy, and that was nuts. But it was fairly empty, the San Paolo. And this was the first Champions League game of the season where, on the weekend against Cagliari, it was sold out and it was packed. And it just told you what the fans were looking forward to this season and what they were putting the importance on this year. So it's easy to fault Sarri when it's all said and done, when Napoli fell short of the Scudetto, and say, oh, look, we won trophyless, and oh, we didn't even care about Europe, and we didn't care about the Coppa Italia. And you know what? Sarri definitely deserves his fair share of criticism for the lack of rotation and that throughout the year, but we were all Scudetto or bust. So to criticize 91 points, you know what? At the beginning of the year, if somebody had told us that Napoli would finish the season with 91 points, I can promise you every single one of us would have taken it. And we would have expected a Scudetto with it. So that's the frustrating thing, but it is what it is.
That's the thing. I mean, how many years out of the last 10 with 91 points have been enough to actually win the championship?
Yep.
You know, it's an incredible points tally. I just think maybe that the European thing, you know, in hindsight, it is disappointing. I mean, obviously, I was down in Manchester for the City game against Napoli. And whenever the lineup came out, it was kind of like, all right, okay. You know, you could see there was, you know, some stress, you know, second string guys in there. As it turned out, it was very much a second string player this season anyway who scored the only goal that night in Diawara from the penalty spot. But it was just kind of really, really strange, that game. Down there, you know, first 20 minutes we could have been 4-5 down, ended up actually being unlucky not to draw, even maybe sneak a 3-2 win in that one. But yeah, after the highs of the Real Madrid games last year, you know, the build up to that home leg, that second leg, was absolutely insane. You know, offices, schools, you know, everything, market stalls, you know, restaurants, you name it, all around Naples closed. Everybody watching the game, stadium full, 3-4 hours before kickoff, probably more. And just to kind of lose that was a little bit kind of frustrating. But as we said, we all bought into it. Every single one of us on this show, on Twitter, or, you know, across in Naples, everybody wanted that title. When Koulibaly scored that header, I think we all thought it was on at that point. But I mean, it's just, let's hope that, you know, Ancelotti, whenever he comes in, and I think he will put more of an emphasis on squad rotation and, you know, squad management, and hopefully we do see some form of a trophy next year, and certainly a greater focus on, you know, Europe. Other comments as well made by ADL, once again, it's kind of old stuff, kind of going back over old kind of topics more or less here, just briefly recap them. He praised Diawara and Zielinski for being technically brilliant last season but were largely unused. Also said that Sarri asked him for Maksimovic, didn't use him. You know, just kind of, we've heard all this before. This is all kind of like rehashed sound bites. And then the kind of more interesting one that I seen was that ADL said that he's actually turned down 45 million plus 5 million in bonuses from Manchester City for Jorginho. Now, all over Sky Sports News all week in the UK here, they've been reporting that this is more or less, you know, pretty much a done deal. So it is quite interesting to see, you know, that actually De Laurentiis says he's turning it down. So do you think this is maybe a ploy for more money, or do you think there's a chance, guys, that Jorginho might stay?
I think this is ADL saying get out of here with your 50, make it more like 65, because I think that's probably more where the true value lies. But I would be surprised. I think I would be a little surprised if Jorginho stays, only because I know that our transfer market is going to be driven by some sales, and I think that as far as value versus maybe what Ancelotti is going to bring tactically, that's probably the move that makes most sense. So I think that this is probably just him saying you better up it by 10 and we can start chatting. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on the same page with that. I mean, listen, Jorginho is probably the best Italian midfielder on the planet right now. And so if a team's going to pry him away, and he's still got a contract with the club, you're going to demand that he gets everything that you can for him. And you know what? I don't blame De Laurentiis for saying, you know what? 45 plus 5 million in bonus. Are you crazy? At least, yeah, you're right. At least 60, 65 million. And you know he's going to slot in perfectly into that Guardiola system. So, listen, Napoli has all the leverage because at the end of the day, if he doesn't leave, then he doesn't leave. But he clearly wants to go. So whether it's Manchester City, whether it's Chelsea, or whether it's somebody else, he's leaving. So let's get what we can for him.
And then, of course, that money would be reinvested. You're looking at possibly Rabiot from PSG and Torreira from Sampdoria, which would be two great additions to the squad as well. But we'll move on to the kind of transfer talk just now, just to kind of finish off. Two names, one not coming and one that we thought up until we were about to start recording that he was coming. Simone Verdi, ADL making claims that he was a Napoli player. Even Carlo Alvino had stated on Twitter that he is 100% a Napoli player. But Football Italia, about maybe 5-6 hours ago by the time I caught up with the story, have Verdi himself saying that he's stunned by the comments and that Inter remain in the running for him. Surely we're not going to get knocked back again.
No, I think the timeline was, I think Football Italia put that out pretty early this morning, and then Alvino came out later this afternoon and said that, you know, he's going to be a Napoli player. So, you know, this is just normal stuff, and I think a lot of times, I don't know, I feel like lately some, you know, a little bit of Football Italia's stuff has been a little bit off. So I'm going to go with Alvino, and I'm going to say only because he was been on the mark lately with a lot of his stuff, especially with the Ancelotti stuff. So, I mean, if Verde comes, great. You know, I think we've got other options anyway, but if the big man is saying it himself, it's probably happening, whether or not, you know, quote-unquote Verdi said that it didn't happen. I don't know. I think I'm going to trust the big man and Alvino over maybe some hearsay quotes that we heard on Twitter.
Yeah, listen.
No, definitely.
Listen, as someone who writes for Football Italia, I've been very critical of them, and I have a lot of issues sometimes with the way they publicize stuff, and I've said that on multiple occasions. I think it's a done deal. And they were quoting a Radio CRC report, so it is what it is, but I think you're right. If De Laurentiis is saying that, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. I hope so anyways. I think Verdi brings a lot to the table. Him and Caglione were, I think, two of the only three players this season with double-digit goals and assists, so that speaks volumes. And I think that's something huge that they bring to another element that he brings to this club. Also, shameless plug, you can read my Napoli season review on Football Italia up right now. But I think Verdi's coming, and I think it's a good move for Napoli. It's another Italian international, and you know what? Imagine you brought Balotelli. If you were able to bring in Balotelli and Verdi, you'd have almost that Italian front three with Verdi, Insigne, and Balotelli. And imagine you kept Jorginho too. But anyways, that would just be pretty cool. But I think they're making the right move. And if it is true, I think it's a good first pickup.
Yeah, because there was a couple of comments that were made toward the Sempre account as well whenever we mentioned, you know, Verdi possibly coming in. And one that really, you know, caught my eye, and you know, Frank on the Sempre chat on Facebook, he was baffled by it as well, because one person said he's only good at long shots and free kicks. And I'm like, well, we don't really tend to score that many goals from long range, and there's no harm in having an extra free kick taker in the squad. So, you know, as Frank said, it's not exactly two undesirable traits to have in a player.
I mean,
so
no matter what happens, someone's going to criticize, right? Someone's going to have something to say about it. I think Verdi's a great player, and he gives you tactical options that a lot of players don't. He can play basically anywhere from, you know, attacking midfield forward. He can play on the left. He can play on the right. He can play in the middle. He can play in support of a striker. He can play as a striker. I mean, I think with Ancelotti, you're going to see a lot of variation. And as I've been digging deeper into Ancelotti's tactics, he tends to switch around his formations pretty often. And a guy like Verdi is a person that you can plug and play in a lot of different places. And that brings value. And, you know, anybody who's going to be upset about it, I think should take a step back and actually take a look at what he did this season, you know, it's pretty impressive stuff. So I'd be happy to have him.
Absolutely. And you know what? We were all pretty upset when that whole Politano deal didn't go through at the end in January, and De Laurentiis came out and, you know, he was basically suggesting that he was going to waste a whole lot of money on Politano when Verdi was the better option. And he's right. And it's for the exact reasons why you said, Kenny. He brings you a lot more versatility. He gives you a lot more options. And a guy like Ancelotti, he really needs that. And as we talk about Ancelotti's arrival and the tactical changes we're going to see, you're right. He's going to switch it up. He's not going to be as stringent as Sarri was on a particular system. So I think you need guys who can bring you that versatility and can play in a variety of positions. And he's a youngster, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. So I think it's exciting.
Well, hopefully we see the tweet going out by the big man any day now. That would be very nice and a great way to start the Mercato. And just one other name as well, guys. He's not coming to us, but again, he was a name that was maybe, he was linked with us often. Genoa certainly kept on putting the feelers out, almost desperate to sell him to us. We didn't bite. It looks like Mattia Perin is going to go to Juventus as their number two. Again, not a player, I think, and, you know, again, in hindsight, as we're looking at it and we've looked at, you know, the reason why he wasn't wanted originally by Napoli was said to be that his distribution wasn't good enough. He was a good shot stopper, but his distribution wasn't good enough. Obviously, Ancelotti's come in. He'll have his own ideas. We already know he's looking at the PSG goalkeeper. Leno, again, has been mentioned in recent days. The Perin move, guys, Kenny, I'll start with you on this one just to finish off. Are you disappointed that we haven't made a move for Mattia Perin, or do you think there's far better options out there for us?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, maybe at some point he would have been a good fit for us. And I know a lot of people love him, and he's an Italian goalkeeper, and he's still pretty young. But, you know, there's a lot of factors in every transfer or rumor transfer that, you know, people don't necessarily see. Like, they just wonder, why didn't you just get him? Well, the player has to be keen. You know, maybe Perin has been waiting personally for a chance to play at Juventus. We don't know. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors that Genoa was trying to get him to us because we have a friendly relationship with them. And Ancelotti has come in now after Sarri, and I think he's pretty much recognized the two guys that he wants. I mean, we had Rui Patricio seemed like it was going to be coming in, and I think that Ancelotti has said he doesn't really care for him that much. And he wants Leno or Areola from PSG, and those seem to be the two guys that he wants. And at this point, with a new manager coming in, you have to try to make that manager happy. And, you know, for me personally, when I see a guy like Perin go to Juventus, it's just one of those things that at some point you have to sit back and just sort of laugh a little bit. I mean, I don't think he's going to – I think Chesney is a way better goalkeeper, and that's just my personal opinion, but I don't think Perin is going to see too much playing time aside from rotation. So that's just my personal take on it. But I'm not really fussed either way, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, listen, I'm a big Perin fan, and I think at $15 million, he is a pretty good bargain. But I also don't think it's going to cost us the Scudetto, and I don't think it's the reason Napoli won't win a championship. But it is. You know, it's frustrating again that, you know, they had this plan in place already. And now not only did they get their number one, but potentially their number two as well. And Napoli knew Reina was going, and they had Seppi in the wings, they had Raphael in the wings, and clearly neither one of them were the future. So it's like, well, what were they grooming them for? So it's frustrating in that regard, but it is what it is. Perin for me is a pretty good goalie. And I think if he's healthy, it's a great pickup. And we'll see what happens with Napoli. And I don't think distribution is going to be nearly as important to Ancelotti as it was for Sarri. So whether it's Leno, whether it's Patricio, honestly, for me personally, I can't say I know enough about any of these contenders to say what the right choice is and who I think would be the best fit. But I'm going to trust management. I'm going to trust Ancelotti. And we'll see that hopefully next year it works out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the thing that's frustrating a lot of fans there, Marco, is the fact that the club have known, you know, for a while now that Pepe Reina isn't going to be offered a new contract. Obviously, Seppi and Raphael have been let go. So we don't have any goalkeepers. So where is the Juntoli, you know, where's the progression plan? But, you know, Ancelotti's come in, as you said, he'll have his own ideas, he'll have his own players that he trusts, that he's worked with in the past, or, you know, targets that he's identified already. So I think we just need to let this one play out. I'm sure we'll get a couple of goalkeepers in the near future. We play Liverpool in a friendly. Was it next month or no? August, sort of August, August 4th, I think it is.
Yep.
So I'm sure we'll have a goalkeeper in place by then. But we're going to wrap this one up here, guys. That's us 35 minutes. Didn't want to run this one too long. Don't forget to follow us at Sempre SSC Napoli on Twitter. You can find us all on there. You can get Kenny at Napoli Stats. You can find Marco at Kubani7. You can get myself at GR McGee. Don't forget to check out the website at SempreSSCNapoli.com. Until next week, guys. Take care. Ciao, ragazzi. Forza Napoli.
Sempre. Ale, ale, ale. Ale, Napoli, ale.